We're learning Klal Ayin Dalet. Up to Beis. Mark, we're up to Beis. Seder Hagala, the manner by which one kashers, kach, who is as follows. Tchila tzarch l'shashef hakeli heitev bibifnim. First you have to clean out the keli well on the inside. Shelo yia by shum davar shamnunes midvak by, so there should be no food stuck to it. Chetzarch lahavir kol chaluda shebibifnim, and you have to remove all rust. Aval kishayesh rak roishim chaluda ene mazik. But if it's a mark, that doesn't matter. We always say on Pesach when you clean the oven that you clean it well, and if there's a mark that remains on the walls, that doesn't matter.
Basically
because it's a chatzitza. Also the mark itself, if it's made out of treif of food, would be treif if there's mamashis. But once there's only a mark, we consider that not to have mamashis. Tzar shalaya b'kli shum stak aiguma. There's a tricky din that in order to kasha used keli, it can have cracks into which the food settled. A sadak is a crack, a guma, or a hole. Im yesh bay tzarch laharchivay ulanakar heitev. And if it does, you have to clean it well. Vim eina yachal lanakar, and if he's not able to clean it, yosim sham gecholim at she yisraif a gufi isra. I mentioned most years when you kashi a sink for Pesach, that there was a problem with the drain, the crack around the drain. That's this halacha. That any place where you have a crack, you can't really clean every bit of mamashas from the crack, you're not allowed to kasher it. What it says here is to put some hot coals there to destroy whatever is there. I mentioned to put some Mr. Clean or some bleach on the crack and leave it there for some time so that whatever is there would be destroyed. Whatever mamashas is in the crack would be destroyed. Additional dinim are found in Arachayim. So this din is a bit of a confusing din. When you have a knife, which is a wooden handle and a metal blade, typically there's a very tight seal, but it's a crack, it's a space between the blade and the wooden handle, or a plastic handle. And the question is whether one is really allowed to kasha such a thing because of the assumption that there's mamoshes there, mamoshes be'en. Excuse me. What? Nothing to do with tithing. I'm talking about kashering. Now here, Paul once told me, he was at a simcha, and I think he was talking to Reb Tovia Goldstein, if I recall correctly, and he said he was masupik. It's very good. If you have a treifa knife and you want to kasher it, so there's a chashash that there's be'en in the cracks, so even if you kasher it, if there's be'en, it doesn't help. But most people don't kasher treifa knives. Most people have, let's say, a fleshige knife that they once used for milchiks, or a milchige knife that they once used for fleshiks. So the question then becomes, if it was a one-time use of something, so from one time use, do we really have to be chayshish that there's be'en in the cracks from that one time use that we should say you can't kasher? Does the mashu prevent the kashering, or is the mashu just because it's iser? So he said that Reb Tovia Goldstein told him that Divrei Malkiel has a tshuva about it and he's mekel. So Reb Tovia told me he couldn't find the tshuva, we should look for it. So there are five chalokim to the Divrei Malkiel. It's two volumes, but it's five sections. And we looked through all five, we couldn't find it. Moshe Rav Kook put out a sixth chelik, around that time, in the 60s, 70s, 80s, around that stretch. We looked through chelik vav, we didn't find it there either. So either it's somewhere we missed it, or it's not there, and I guess it's somewhere else that Rav Tovia got mixed up with it. But I got this confused. But this is an issue which is a little bit of a confusion. I happen to have in my study a box, and the box I use mostly for papers. On the bottom, when somebody has to be kashered in the house, we stick it in there, and it sits there for a few years until I get around to kashering it. I was sitting there, I have such a knife, I have a white handled plastic knife with a blade, and there's a crack, and there's, it's hard to clean out the vent.
It's after 12 months. It's
after 12 months. Well, 12, yeah, the 12 months helps is a disputed idea. The Chacham Tzvi held that after 12 months, Abliya is gone. Abliya is gone, you have to kashrut. Ramesh and Etshuva takes issue with the Chacham Tzvi, but he is makel by Heter Bola. What? Not bad, right? Only Abliya's. That's right. But Ramesh is only makel Heter Bola. If you had a fleshic knife, you use it for milchiks. When it's an Eina Ben Yayma, you're milk of a flesh, that's called Heter Bola. So then there were Moshe's makel. But okay. Anyway, the knife is still there. I figure Mashiach will come, will still be there. Maybe. I don't know. Okay, Gimel. Tzarech lahagil gam yodei sakelim. When you kasher, the handles have to be kashered as well. Mihu, however, is sagi shiishpech aleya mayim reischem eklirishin. Okay, when you have the handle of a pot, you don't put food in the pot and the handle to when you cook. What goes on the handle? Damkin any baleya raki yedei mashinitzaitis knife l'mitekli olav. They only get baleyas because things from in the pot pour out onto it. So therefore, you can cash it by pouring. V'tzar shiyanakir b'mokim shemachur b'abes yad, the same issue. In the place where the handle is connected to the keli, there's a crack. It's got to be cleaned out well. Shalo yiyah sham iser be'en. That there should be nothing bad. If it's not connected well, and the possibility that there is some particle of iser, you have to burn it out. If there's a patch on a keli, nobody puts patches today, but if a keli is patched, you have to put coals there, she is slabein, that it should turn white from the heat. And then whatever food is there will be kasher, it'll be destroyed. And then you do hagola on the keli. Obviously, if you put the whole keli into hot coals, that would kasher it as well. If it's a new patch, and attached well, sagi bahagola. People ask about kashering barbecue grills. Now, our old-fashioned barbecue grills, which are round with a grate and nothing much else, and were perfectly fine as far as I recall, the barbecue sets your kasher very easily. You just put charcoal there and light it, which is what you're doing anyway. So that's a perfect hagola. It kashers it. And I assume that the metal grate gets hot enough. If you're not sure, you put a few pieces of charcoal on the grate, and it kashers it. Today, people ask about using the barbecue grill on Pesach. They have the grill on their back porch. I have a barbecue grill in my backyard. I had a neighbor. Remember Edgar, who was my neighbor. He moved to Baltimore. So he asked me if he minds if I put his barbecue grill in my backyard. So it's been there now for about 5 years. And, it has a hood, right? It closes. Now, if you open it, you can kasher the barbecue pit, or whatever they call it, and the grates, you can kasher perfectly well. The problem is kashering the hood. Right. So people ask me, all right, they'll leave the hood open. They won't put the hood. So I don't know, by mistake, someone puts the hood down, it asks the food becomes chametz thick, because by chametz, even Eina Ben Yoimai makes things awesome. If you unscrew the hood and you put it away, and you kash everything else, then you'll be allowed. So that's the question. If when you put it down, it's kashering. So I'm not sure how hot it gets. When you're kashering through heat, it has to have a temperature, for a terabol, it has to have a temperature of roughly 450 degrees. Your meat would be returned to charcoal if it was 450 degrees.
What?
Your meat would get destroyed if you were
450 degrees. Well, I have a thermometer on the cover and it hits 450 and 500.
Really?
When I
How long does it take a hot dog to cook in a grill?
Before I put the meat on, I clean it by laying the charcoal with gas.
Right.
And it reaches 450 to 500.
What reaches 450? The hood?
The internal temperature.
The temperature of the hood is 150 degrees.
Yeah,
you'd be very surprised. Okay. Anyway, if it reaches Liban, then if it reaches Liban and it's made out of metal, which you could do Liban on, then it works. So I'm not sure. Okay. What? What's wrong?
Herbie doesn't eat meat.
What? Herbie doesn't eat meat. He puts salmon there. Baltashkas and the charcoal. Okay, Dalin. Dreyfus. What's a Dreyfus? That's a guy in France, no? Dreyfus is a tripod, and it's something that you put the pot on. They used to have a little campfire, and on top of it you put a tripod, and on top of that you put a pot. If you don't do it, it's not such a good idea. I remember once as a counselor, we had a cookout, I had this great idea. We were gonna do popcorn on the campfire. So I brought along this gigantic pot, a ton of popcorn, and I took it was a metal, sort of like a metal milk crate. We put it upside down on the fire, we put on the pot, we put in the popcorn. We realized there was no way to get it off the fire afterwards. You know, we didn't really plan well. So it was okay, because there was no lid anyway. It was so hot when you threw in the popcorn, it popped like immediately. It was raining popcorn all over. It was a lot of fun. Not very edible, but a lot of fun. So this Dreyfus, this tripod, Sarach Liban. Why? You don't put food on it. This Dreyfus is our black grate, what we call our black grate that the pot rests on. So why do you have to kasha the black grate? He says, l'fishenishbach olav iser, because things spill. B'chein, what's that word? Katzeres? Shemitziyam bam kateres me'ataner. Same thing, some type of stick which you use to pull the pots out of the oven.
Yeah.
It also has to be kasher, even though it's not made for food to touch it, but food spills on it. It's not made to put food on it directly. There's a rule that when two pots touch each other, a bliya does not transfer from the kli la kli below right without liquid. That's the heter we have in the airline meals where they wrap it in aluminum. The outside aluminum becomes treif, because it's in a treif oven. But it doesn't make the inside one treif, because the bliya doesn't go from metal to metal without a significant amount of liquid in between. Well, he's saying the same thing when you have a pan, and on that pan you put other pans, you have a large pan, and on it you put a potato kugel that's on a pan, or a cake that's on a pan. Since it's not made for the food to touch it, and ain't bliya, it's a makli lakli. So therefore, chatchila, you should be chayshish that something dripped and that it's awesome. You're saying that b'di'eved, or it means b'makam tzayrach v'saymach, that most derived tashmisha is not that way, and therefore you could use it.
That's his question.
You're chayshish that now when you put a pot on it, nothing's going to happen. But when you put a pot on it and the water bubbles over, it's going to put right in between. So no, but then the bliya will go to the keli.
It's a bubble over on the tripod. You're not licking it off the
But
tripod.
That makes the bliya go from the keli to keli. The bliya doesn't travel from one can to another without liquid. But if the liquid bubbles over, then it does. You follow?
If it runs under it,
then. The truth is, it's not such an issue. I'll tell you why. Because, of two reasons. First of all, because an Eina Ben Yaimai doesn't answer. If it wasn't used in 24 hours, it doesn't answer. Chazal made a gzeira, don't use a keli, not Ben Yaimai, you might use a keli Ben Yaimai. That's when you plan to use it. When you have an Eina Ben Yaimai, great, and you put a pot on top of it, you're not planning to cook by water bubbling over. It just, if it bubbles over, it bubbles over. But you have it anyway, it's Eina Ben Yaimai. So it's not much of an issue. As a matter of physical fact, our grates get very, very hot. We once measured the temperature, it gets tremendously hot. You're talking about 1800 degrees there. And 1800 degrees is at the center of the grate. I didn't measure the sides of the grate, because when I measured the center, it blew the machine that I was using. It hit 1800, and then it didn't ruin the Baruch Hashem. I ordered a new probe. the machine, I don't know, today you probably have newfangled machines then, it's called the thermocouple. The thermocouple is a device. It looks a lot like a small calculator. And you put in a probe and you stick the probe in. That's how you measure, the inside heat of an oven. A very thin probe. You could stick the probe in, even in a self-cleaning oven, and close and seal it and measure the heat of a self-cleaning oven, which is why I had borrowed it. So the self-cleaning ovens, I measured, didn't bust anything. Then I got this bright idea of measuring under a pot. Like I said, it hit 1800 and then it blew. I wasn't sure if it blew the whole machine, which cost a few $1,000, just the probe. So I called the company, ordered a probe to be overnighted. I think it was $36 or something. And Baruch Hashem, after that, it worked. I didn't try again. But it gets very, very hot. So really, it's not an issue. Or we kasher it anyway, because we kasher everything for Pesach. Today, people replace these black grates when they kasher. The place the fire comes out of, the silver center, is certainly self-kashering. That's very, very hot. Hey, clay keli shenishtamish ba'isa yoyim b'tech me'es la'es le'mahani agola. A keli that was used that day, within ben yoyimai, which means within 24 hours, you can't kasher. Ela im kain, shiachnis ha'keli b'kli gadol shiya b'mayim samach neger ha'kli shalisa. Unless you have such a big keli on the outside that has 60 times the volume of the keli. The reason for that is because the bleah comes out into the water. It shouldn't make the water, it shouldn't turn the water treif. And, v'zel u'shchiach is not common. So therefore we don't kasher. The only time it comes up is before Pesach. Because on Pesach you cannot kasher using hagola. Since Pesach, chametz ases b'mashu, so even if you have a gigantic keli, it ases. You have to kasher erev Pesach. So Erev Pesach, if it's a Ben Yayma, you don't have the luxury of waiting till Ein Ben Yayma. So you go and you kasher, and alright, Erev Pesach, you're not going to find Hagolah stations anymore. Usually 2 days before, 3 days before, there are places where they kasher, and those kelim are really big enough to be 60 times the amount.
You fight in the water, doesn't help anything?
Excuse me?
You fight in the water, doesn't help
anything? So that's what we do today. When we kasher the Hilton, we go to a hotel. So we tell the hotel, you know, don't use your kitchen for 24 hours. We have to kasher it. So if you go for Pesach, maybe it's Shayach. When the Aguda takes for the convention, now today, when I was involved, they had a contract to not use the kitchen 24 hours before kashering.
The dishwasher is in a bigger firm, when we use the dishwasher.
If you use the dishwasher.
We have to clean the dishwasher.
So
we have to wait for
dishwashers are not clean?
24 hours.
Yeah.
Then we start,
kashering. So what they do, in the kashering place is they're pegging the water. They rely on a shach. It's a chiddush, because their chalukei days about this. What they do is this. They have a large, steam kettle. A steam kettle is used for soups, sometimes used for pasta. A steam kettle is a very large pot with a double wall, so it gets, the steam goes into the double wall, and it cooks the things inside in a very uniform way. When you have a fire underneath, a pot in the kitchen is not so big. But when you have a gigantic pot of food and you have a fire underneath, it's not uniform. So they use steam kettles. That's how the industry works. So to kasher a steam kettle, you fill it up with water, and you boil the water. It comes to a boil. The problem is that it's a ben yaimai. So the custom is to put bleach into the water. What's the whole problem? That the bleach comes from the walls into the water and goes back. So it goes into the bleach and it becomes a pogum. There's a major problem with this system because bleach evaporates at a very low temperature, which means that you don't have, which means you don't have it. It's really an issue. At Kedei Kach, I was once, I think it was the Meadowlands Hilton where we had issues with the kashering many years ago. And, I took a ladle while they were kashering, took some water and put in a cup. It was very hot. I waited till it cooled and then I gave it to the guy to drink, to taste. He said, it's full of bleach. I said, yeah, drink it. There's no bleach taste in it at all because the bleach evaporates, at a very low temperature. So some places they have them, just keep on pouring in bleach all the time. Every 5 minutes you pour in more bleach. Others have used what?
Powder.
Others, they started to use some other, caustic cleansers, which don't evaporate. They're actually suspensions. They actually end. And I don't know. The kashering in these places leaves something to be desired. So I, many years ago, was makabel blineder, but I don't eat at simchas that are kashered over places. They're very, very hard to kasher. There are numerous issues with kashering. Today, there are a few experts in the field that know how to kasher. I'm sure when you do a whole hotel, you call one of them. There are a couple of, the names are known. There are three or four experts in kashering, and they pretty much work for all the hechsherim. And they do the kashering, but there are major issues in a lot of the places. There are big problems in a lot of the places. The few times I went, when they kasher here and there, there's always some agmas nefesh. I don't know. You know, they kasher this, they kasher that, but that sink they don't kasher, they don't plan to use it. And then the kitchen gets busy and they end up using it. It's a problem. I'll tell you, there's another problem with the convection ovens. The convection ovens have fans on the back wall. And the purpose of the fan is made to distribute the heat evenly. So the heat goes evenly. It's one of the problems on Shabbos with convection ovens is that when you open the door, the fan goes off. It will blow the hot air straight into your face. So it goes off. Some of them, the fires go off. When the fire goes off, it's a problem because it's a bishalaka when you close the doors. But the issue is cleaning it. When you kasher, to take apart the fan in the back and to clean the fan is very, very difficult. Some do clean it, some don't clean it. I think most don't clean it and they rely on wrapping the food because they don't really cook there. They just reheat things there. So it's not so simple. There's one fellow in the kashering business, forgetting his name, he's gradually not well now. But he's like the expert. He goes in, he takes it apart, takes apart the fan and cleans the fan. It's like his pride. If I go there with the kashering and he's there, he says, come, look at the fan. You know, it's like, it's very hard to clean. These things are filthy. You always think in the Hilton that the kitchen is clean. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody goes into the back. It's not the most sanitary. So anyway, it's a hard thing to kasher.